The University Tower chimes, ringing another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my right, she gets a lot of email. It's Professor Heather Hill.
Don't we all get a lot of email?
I mean, we do, but I would guess on average
that
you get more than the average prof.
Yes. This is true. And it's not from students necessarily.
Right. But it's from all the adoring members of the collective bargaining unit to our adoring president.
Yeah, that's what they are.
That's what
adorable.
It is. How have you been lately, Heather?
I'm okay. Thank you.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
That took a while.
I don't know.
It's okay.
The pause.
It's okay to not be okay. That's what I say.
As you all know, and people can't see this because we're not visual.
Right.
I broke a blood vessel in my eye, and it's quite grotesque.
It's tough. It's tough.
Yes.
You should see the guy that she beat up.
I know. I was about to say, you should see the
Thanks,
other one.
Dave.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm okay.
What bar was this at?
Yeah, it was Tuesday. It happened Tuesday. I don't want to spend too much time on this because we have a show.
You're screaming at a student?
No, I went to class. I saw Molly, who's our special guest today, earlier in the day on Tuesday. And, we're chatting like we always do. And then I got back from class. I went into the ladies' room. And then I come out and I'm like, did I have this morning? And she's like, no.
Wow.
And it's just progressively gotten worse, but.
Like cellophane on ketchup.
That's the way the ophthalmologist described it today. That it's like ketchup under a layer of cellophane.
That's so weird.
It gets spreading out.
We just got to come up with a better story for you. That's all.
Yeah,
like you
I
fought
know.
Off 20 Roman hordes or something. You know, you
like
rescued
that.
Kids on a train track or something.
I like the Roman hordes.
Yes.
So anyway, we can move on.
Moving on, a man who described himself at one point as possibly having lobster coming out of his ears is Professor Stephen Manning. That was the way the student looked at you when you told them something fairly obvious.
With a combination of surprise and disdain in equal measures.
I think that lobsters kind of fit the bill as an animal that would do that. You know what I mean?
And as a New Englander, lobsters have a special.
Maybe you've got lobster on
with or without butter.
You got lobster on the brain. Get it?
No more. It came out his ears.
Exactly. Thank you for picking up on that.
Oh, my gosh.
Professor Tubbs.
Did the Red Sox win yesterday?
I don't know, but if you were to ask me how I was, I would have said I'm great because the baseball season has commenced.
That's right.
And I can't wait until I see the first several Yankees losses.
It's going to be great.
Which are almost as important as Red Sox and Tigers wins.
Two words. Alex Bregman.
Alex Bregman.
Don't forget the Yankees will be at Comerica Park next week, so feel free to get
really?
Some cheap tickets and sit back and joke.
A couple of years ago, I went to opening day, which was standing room only.
Of course.
And I went not because the weather was inviting. It wasn't. It started at about 39 and got colder as the day went on.
Yep.
And then it started precipitating, a little bit of cold rain, and by the time it was done, sleet. But they were playing the Red Sox, and I forget who the Red Sox pitcher was. This was some years ago. But it was the star of the Red Sox starting rotation. And the Tigers were really beating up on him.
Oh, nice.
And the manager wouldn't take him out.
Oh.
And it's sort of like, he's a superstar. I can't really.
Okay.
Wasn't doing a good managerial job.
Sure.
Pull this guy out.
It wasn't Pedro Martinez,
It was like 13-2 or something.
Oh, I think I remember that year.
Shellacking.
I
forget who the pitcher was.
The shellacking.
Jim Price used to say, every once in a while you get a laugher. We started the season strong that year.
The guy just doesn't have it. I mean, he could have been second in Cy Young voting last year.
Right.
Today he does not have it.
Yeah,
send them to the showers.
Yeah, Scooble didn't look too sharp last night, but good enough, this is the way it
goes.
But
it wasn't good enough because they didn't win.
That was a batting problem, not a pitching problem. 0-15 with runners in scoring position.
Ooh.
Not good. Ooh. Against the World Series champs at their house.
Yep.
We can win that game.
I hate that LOB stat.
Yes, right? Left on base. Yes. It's hard to hear Dan Dickerson on the radio say, Tigers threaten, but do not score, which is what he does every time. Professor Dave Chow is here with us.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
We stopped talking about hockey a few weeks ago. I think you understand.
Oh, no. I stopped following the Red Wings.
Yeah, exactly.
My Medicine Hat Tigers are leading the league right about now in second round of playoffs.
Okay, so. Very nice, very nice.
And following the 16-year-old kid that can't get drafted yet, I think, was it the last game they had a jersey auction? So you can get a game-worn jersey. Everyone else's was going for about $200 a jersey. His is going for $4,500.
Oh, my gosh.
He is projected to be the first or second round draft pick next season.
Wow. 17, huh?
That's incredible. 16 right now. He's 16 right. years old.
Oh, my goodness.
And he's leading the league in goals.
Isn't that child labor?
If you want to call it that, I like to call it junior achievement.
Remind us, the league is IHL?
Western Hockey League.
Oh, Western Hockey League. Got it.
So he's going right from this to the NHL?
He'll get drafted next year.
No college?
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah. Most of them don't.
Yeah. Wow. Tell the Wings to throw the rest of the season. Let's see what we can get done.
I don't have to tell them.
You don't have to tell them.
Oh. They'll do just fine on their own.
It's pretty bad.
They already heard it. Yes.
The shine is off the apple in that category.
Yeah, the core is off the apple.
Professor Jim Tubbs is here with us today.
Hello, hello.
Hello. How are you, Jim?
Good, good.
It's been a while. I mean, it's been a while since we've even been down here. I know that you got back from your trip. Any other musings about the trip that you took?
No, Diane Manica said to say hello.
Yeah, good to see her. That's all so awesome. Yeah. In all of your pictures, you really looked like you had a great time.
It was warm. I mean, it was over 90 several days.
Oh, my gosh.
So you're in the right, you know, just
but
like this.
The day that we left Phoenix, it was, I think it was in the 40s, maybe, high 40s. And which was a little unusual for what it had been, but it was also raining, which was a good thing because they had not had rain in 118 days.
Wow.
When we were there. Now, we didn't mind that it wasn't raining, but.
So I got the usual 1/32nd of an inch.
Yeah. Well, Diane told me that it rained some more after we left.
It was a dry rain. It was a very dry rain.
I told her I would start constructing an ark.
When we were there, it was chillier and windier than it's ever been before.
Hmm.
There were some nice days.
We had that 2 years ago. Yeah, it was chilly.
We're going back in June.
Windy. Well, June it will not be chilly. Oh,
well, no, my brother said, when I sent him the flight stuff, my brother said, bring AC clothes. Because the AC is always on. And,
Yep.
You're into June and...
Continuing around the table, we're joined by a special guest star. How about we put it like that?
A guest star.
I like that.
No pressure, no pressure.
The Department of English, Professor Molly Barlow. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Excellent. You know, a lot of people come to the show, Molly, thinking that there's going to be like some sort of tick marks or score or something. We really just sort of get together and screw around. So just
trial by ordeal.
Don't even worry about anything. And
just worried about getting paddled if I say something wrong.
I think
only if you're lucky
that you're going to be just fine. To continue around the table, we've got Professor Dan Maggio is here. He had to work through his birthday.
Yeah, I worked on my birthday. I even had a late call, and I had to cook my own dinner. But I had much celebration before my birthday.
Okay.
Oh, good. Everything's good.
Everything's good.
That's
it's
good.
Tough being 25 again.
And we have leftover bumpy cake.
Yep.
Not around Danielle.
What did you cook for your own dinner?
I had gnocchis.
Hey, all right. What kind of sauce? Pesto?
No, it was Mike's from Brooklyn.
Oh, okay. It's a perfect day for gnocchi. That's what I say. Last but most certainly not least, Professor Danielle Maxwell is here. I'm so sorry you're feeling a little bit under the weather and wondering whether it's because we shared a flight or that we work in close proximity that I can feel the virus growing inside me.
Yeah, gross. You don't sound your best right now.
Just so, blame the panda.
Exactly. You've seen a glimpse into your future.
I definitely think, as I'm sure you'll be happy to report to this panel, we're flying back, and it took several approaches to get the plane back onto the planet. And there was a much... sort of a breakdown of my immune system because, you know, other muscles were needed for other non-nauseous things.
Oh,
it was very, very difficult to get back on the ground. That's
it
all
it was
I'm
very
say.
Difficult. And there was a student sitting two seats over from me, and I was so nauseous I came this close to losing my lunch. And I was like, this student is going to have such a good story to tell.
Where were you flying from?
San Diego.
Oh.
And there was a crosswind. We actually, as far as I'm concerned, made it to the ground with landing gear down and then got pulled right back up again and had to do a circle.
This landing in Detroit?
Yeah, this is landing here. So they said, oh, there's a crosswind. We'll try it again. And I'm like, that means 20 plus minutes. We were going to get in early. Oh,
wow. Anyway. Be thankful they still have enough fuel. So.
Yep. However, nobody clapped when we finally made it to the end. It was more of an air of tension and annoyance.
Let me out.
Listeners, this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. please hold off on the airline disasters question set. If you stump the panel, you win a prize. If you don't stump the panel, you win a prize. You can send us the questions in a number of ways. Email us at atp@udmercy.edu. Find us on Facebook and Instagram. Or listen on your favorite smart speaker by asking it to play Ask the Professor at University of Detroit Mercy. Dear professors, I told my family I would send these 30 questions before I went to bed tonight. We put in a yeoman's effort this previous week in coming up with these. I didn't want to see them squandered, so I hope you'll find them in your hearts to use them for an upcoming show. We hope they prove challenging, thought-provoking, and fun. Please enjoy. Warmest greetings, as always, from Valencia, California. It's our friend Frank Burrows. Frank and the family Burrows.
Oh, one thing sort of we will do is squander them.
Sly on the family stone.
That's what we do.
Okay. Sort of all over the map, but that's the way we like it. What color are the $1 bills in a game of Monopoly?
White.
They are white. They are white. What comedian was David Letterman's first guest on his show? That's a nice
Rick Little.
No, that's
Rick.
Not what it
Rich Little.
Rich Little.
It wasn't Rich Little.
Did I say Rick?
It was a still living, very well known comedic actor and overall comedian. There's all sorts of clues I give that give it completely away. Initials for his stage name, BM, and he is an alum of Saturday Night Live.
Bill Murray.
Bill Murray was David Letterman's first guest. I recently found out that the Muppets had a starring role on almost every episode of the first season of Saturday Night Live, and I think that's the greatest piece of trivia ever.
Really?
You have to go check it out. There were Muppet sketches on SNL in the first season. Weird.
Love that.
Come to think of it, yes, there were.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yes, Jim Henson was deeply distraught at having left the Muppets puppets behind, and the crew in drunken and cocaine-fueled state made them do, he said, unspeakable things in my absence. And he was really, like,
somehow,
you know, like,
that doesn't
wounded
surprise me.
About that interaction.
Was he a writer on the
Jim Henson was not. But the rumor was, and this is where it came about, Mike O'Donohue. So it was like the first head writer. Boy, was he was a broken soul. I mean, very, very funny guy, but he was a weirdo. And he was given the chance to write for the Muppets and said, "I don't write for felt." That was his quote. "I only write for flesh," or something like that.
This new book out by, not by, but on Lorne Michaels, biography, I think.
Yeah. 50 years of SNL.
His longevity is amazing.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Absolutely incredible. List the following New York icons from north to south. Coney Island, Ellis Island, Statue of Liberty. So from north side to south side.
Coney Island, Ellis Island, and Statue of Liberty.
New York once,
Ellis Island, the furthest north.
That is correct.
Yes.
And then the Statue of Liberty, and then Coney Island.
That's correct.
Thank you, Jim.
Absolutely. With connections, of course, to Detroit, Coney is an old Dutch word. Actually, it's the Dutch word that got translated to Coney for a rabbit, because there were a lot of rabbits on the island. And when we started serving hot dogs with mustard, onions, and chili.
And rabbit.
They look like rabbits, so I don't know. That's why we call them conies.
Sure.
I'll buy that.
They did?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
They look like rabbits.
Within $100,000, what was the highest price ever paid for a single caught tuna?
Oh, this is huge.
The year was 2019. It was a 612-pound bluefin.
$2.4 million.
It's higher.
Higher, yeah.
All right. 4.1 million.
4.1 is a little high.
3.3 million.
3.5.
3.1.
What?
3.1. Okay. All right. We got there. We did the Kendra thing.
I don't understand.
I'm just glad I didn't have to order it in a restaurant.
Sushi grade? How heavy was it?
Sushi grade.
It's at 612 pounds in 2019. Dan can do that in his head.
I'm too tired.
He doesn't want to. Okay. It's a lot. Okay. That's what I've got.
What, it was 3.1 and how many pounds?
612 pounds. So let's do it by millions of dollars, right? Heather's doing the calculation right now.
About $5,065.
There you go. Dan was
right. Per pound. Wow.
A pound.
See, you could do it, Dan.
I'm even tired. Yes.
Even tired.
I'm never
going to
complain about like $10 a pound for steak ever again.
Why did they purchase it for that much money? They weren't going to get a return on that. They weren't going to sell that tuna for
The aficionados of bluefin, they'll go all over the world. They're like the McRib followers.
Oh, they must have had it stuffed and then mounted.
Yeah, maybe. That's true.
Westbourne has them on sale next week. They do.
And they're only $2,000 a pound.
No, it was for the meat. It was sold for the meat.
I would guess. Sell.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
I would guess.
Going to
restaurants all over the world.
But it's also like, I'm sure it's for name recognition, too. Look what I did, as opposed to really making a profit.
Also true.
Yeah.
In Batman lore, professors, who were Bruce Wayne's parents' names?
Dr. Thomas Wayne and Martha Wayne.
Martha Wayne, that is correct. Absolutely.
How do you know that?
I'm a Batman aficionado.
Yeah.
I'm a comic book geek, remember?
The Batman. What musician is, I would say, only sometimes, a modern musician, only sometimes known as the Queen of Camp? We had a different Queen of Camp.
Modern musician.
Queen of Camp.
Bette Midler?
No.
Lady Gaga?
Yes. Closer to the modern day.
Madonna?
Not Madonna, closer to the modern day.
Lady Gaga?
Dua Lipa?
Not Lady Gaga, it's even more recent than that.
Not Dua Lipa.
No, I would say that this person started as sort of like a pop star, but the more that they have appeared as a judge at American Idol, the more we figure out.
Katy Perry?
She is a Fruit Loop, that's all I got to say.
Ooh.
Katy Perry's a Fruit
Katy
Loop?
Katy Perry, yeah, it's Katy Perry. She just says and does really weird things on that show. And yeah.
She also advertises for Wayfair, doesn't she?
Does she? Oh, yeah.
I think she does. Yes, you're right. Yes.
Welcome to the Wayfair.
That's the other one.
That's the other one?
That's Southern.
Who knows? Okay, let's move on.
Twins Mike and Joe Mayer and Richard Keith played this character on a famous TV show. Who was the character?
Ricky Ricardo Jr.
Yeah, that's right. Ricky Ricardo Jr.
Little Ricky.
The son of Ricky and Lucy Ricardo. That is correct. I love how you know that just right off the top of your head.
I love Lucy aficionado.
That's awesome. You're also an aficionado of Lucille Ball. What are the two oldest MLB franchises that have never won a single World Series?
Oldest.
The Rays? Is that...
So the Rays are pretty young. So okay. You're correct, but you need to go further back because I'm looking for the old franchises.
It's not the Cubs.
I was gonna go Houston, but that was just recent.
Milwaukee, the Brewers. Yeah.
The Brewers are actually listed here. 1969 was the foundation, and I can get us there very easy by saying to Danielle that just a few days ago I walked by the red clay being delivered at Petco Park.
Padres.
Oh. Yeah. This was very on the spot. Wow. Yep.
Weirdly, also a 1969 foundation for that team. So they both performed in the same year.
I always felt sorry for them. I mean, I think the name is cool for obvious reasons, but it's like brown.
Brown
and yellow.
And they got they got Manny Machado.
Yeah.
Who ended Dustin Pedroia's career.
Yes, that's right.
Remember we went to Fenway last summer and he came up and he was booed?
He was booed, yes. Really?
And I had forgotten that. And the guy sitting next to me, they were rabid fans.
That's incredible.
And I said, remind me again what's going on? He reminded me. He slid into second base, spikes high, and took out Pedroia.
Took out Dusty Pete.
Red Sox hate him.
It's just a really cool park because it's a classic. Right in Petco Park is right in the middle of downtown. You just walk up to
it's
it.
It's a great location.
So, yep.
And if you stay at the Omni, you could go to like the 13th floor and kind of like watch the game, you know, from the
That's cool.
Hey, you guys had a legit hotel. I don't want to hear about it.
We had a very legitimate hotel.
I told you about the hotel they stuck me with last time I did Comic-Con, right?
Oh, jeez.
The ones, you know, my window's adjacent to the adult bookstore and the blinking red neon sign all night long.
The Red Menace.
So you could peer out the window. All
of course.
Yes. Professors, what are the tasks required to finish North Carolina State University's Krispy Kreme Challenge?
Well, you have to eat 50 donuts in a minute or something.
FYI, proceeds from the event go to the North Carolina Children's Hospital. They've actually raised over $2.1 million as of 2023. But what do you have to do to get the pledge?
Does it have to do with eating, like Jim said?
It's something pretty disturbing.
Disturbing.
Eating a large number.
A large number of donuts is good enough for partial credit. There's something else you have to do.
And the cream.
You have to make the donuts.
No.
I don't think I'm
within a certain period of time?
I'm not gonna.
So you go to the Memorial Bell Tower, and you make the run to the closest Krispy Kreme, 2.5 miles away, in just a full dozen, and run all the way back to the clock tower. If you make it and you're still alive, you get some sort of prize.
Wait, now, alive?
Healthcare for life, maybe?
With the donuts still inside of you?
Still
is that
a dozen donuts.
So what would be the UDM equivalent? What, we leave the clock tower and run to the nearest
Coney Island?
We go to Dutch Girl.
The donuts would probably leave you partway. back.
I would guess.
Whether you want them to or not.
Right.
The Poochkey run.
Yeah, but once you're done with the run, you don't have to chug your beer and eat your Poochkey and then run again.
You can pass out, yeah.
I'm dying a little on the
inside. Yeah.
And this is all by 9:30 in the morning.
Oh, no, but it's fine. I mean, you've done your 5K. You've done your 5K. You get a punchki, you hang out, you feel...
burst a blood vessel in your eye and you call it a day. No.
But you can't tell what flavor the punchki is. The first one I had was... prune.
That's very popular. Very popular.
It's gross. I don't like him.
You have to be careful where you go after that.
Let's palate cleanse.
Thank you.
Who was the first real astronaut to appear on an official canon episode of the TV series Star Trek of its many different...
Oh, wow. Flavors. That's a great question.
I'm going to go with Buzz Aldrin and call it even.
You know, I think we need to go a little more recent.
No, what was her name? Short-haired...
Sally Ride?
No, black woman.
Yes, I know.
Dan, help me out.
Was she on Discover? No?
She may have been on Discovery. Yeah, now that I think about it.
No, Discovery. I think she was on... No, she was on TNG.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Then I had nothing to say.
Mae Jemison.
Dr. Mae Jemison is her name.
Yes, wow. You're right.
Yes, I remember that. She was a science officer.
A woman of color to go into space... under the red, white, and blue.
Did they get her back around the time when she was supposed to return?
Absolutely. She did not have to stay.
Not a year later. We kept the receipt. So, mm-hmm.
What Canadian city has the highest population density at 5,700 people per square kilometer?
Toronto?
Vancouver.
It is not. It's Vancouver. 100% Vancouver.
It is jam-packed in there.
Yep.
Why?
I have to shoehorn my cousins in all the time.
It's like the Tokyo of Canada, from what I hear. You know,
It's still beautiful.
It is.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. A lot of movies made there.
I'm supposed to go there in a few weeks, but I won't.
A lot of movies. Ooh.
I'm going to ask all the Gen Xers at the table to open up their, those CD carriers that we used to have? Oh. No. What was the first motion picture that sold 1 million VHS copies? And it's a classic piece of 80s trash. That's all I'm going to tell you.
Is it a John Hughes movie?
Napoleon Dynamite.
No. You're going to have to go further back, Professor Maxwell.
Oh, jeez.
Back to the Future.
It wasn't Back to the Future, and I know that's good. You're in the right sort of like year zone. It was a romantic drama. I'm not going to call it a romantic comedy. And if I tell you who it starred, you'll know it. Just
Mannequin?
No, it wasn't.
Splash?
It wasn't Splash.
Is it Tom Hanks?
It is not Tom Hanks. It is a... Uh-oh. That was 90s. The name just disappeared out of my brain.
Oh.
It was a Patrick Swayze vehicle.
Dirty Dancing.
Dirty Dancing.
Oh.
Yes.
Or Ghost? That's okay, good. I was going to go Ghost.
Oh, Ghost would have been an acceptable answer.
Not Roadhouse.
Dirty Dancing is not a piece of trash.
I'm sorry.
No, I actually agree with him.
It was a formative movie. Because you know where Baby says she's going to college?
What did she say?
Mount Holyoke.
No.
I was at Mount Holyoke when the movie came out.
Oh my gosh.
We all went and saw it.
It's personal now.
Nobody's this baby in a corner. When Dirty Dancing came on HBO, my brother taped it. He insisted on watching it once a day, every day for like 3 months.
Oh my gosh.
And by the end of it, it's like, look, I don't care if baby's in a corner or not. Just make her go away.
We all had the time of our life.
Yeah, I'm sure we did.
Well, I mean, that soundtrack was solid, right? In what James Bond movie do you find the villain Baron Samedi? Gosh, I know the character, but I don't know the name.
Jeffrey Holder. He was the choreographer. Bald gentleman. Jane Seymour was in Solitaire. What was that movie?
And the song actually, the song has the title of the movie in it, doesn't it?
Thunderball? Live and Let Die?
Live and Let Die.
Live and Let Die.
Yeah, it's like
Paul McCartney.
Yes.
Live and Let Die.
Wings.
Brilliant song.
Yes.
Jeffrey Holder as the voodoo witch doctor.
He was an amazing choreographer.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, played by
And remember the 7-Up commercials back in the day, too?
Mm-hmm.
Scared the crap out of me.
Yep.
The 7-Up commercials, that is.
What was the first year where every car that was put together in the United States of America had to have a catalytic converter?
79.
It's 70s, actually.
77.
Says 75 here. I think you're close enough. People have been making cars for a long time.
Because they had all of those, starting in 73, they had all of those complicated emission control things that drove your gas mileage down to about 2 miles a gallon.
Mm-hmm.
And do you remember when you used to have... to have it tested, you know, get that little slip.
Emissions control. Emissions.
And that was the start of the EPA, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right.
What's the EPA?
I know. So, and 2025 is the end of the EPA.
It was an agency that used to be part of the federal government.
The who? The federal what?
The first thing that changes on Wikipedia is the tense of the linking verb. The Environmental Protection Agency was. Great. Oh, great. In British parlance, don't think too hard. What's a fruit machine?
In British Parliament?
In British parlance.
Parlance.
What is a fruit machine?
Parlance.
It is has nothing to do with fruit.
No, it's gambling.
It's a slot machine.
Oh, a slot machine.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay. Yep. That would make sense.
For the record, British do not refer to it as a slot machine. They call it a gambling machine because everything's going to be more proper.
Joker, Joker, and a pair.
Oh, Jack Barry, the Joker's wild.
That's right. Yeah. In what city, it's not in the United States of America, is the world's largest Burger King?
Beijing.
Tokyo.
Wait a minute. Danielle's been to the world's largest,
it's in Europe.
KFC,
Paris.
Right? So come on.
Berlin.
Where else?
Not Paris, although that's a good choice. Berlin's a good choice.
London.
Tokyo?
London. Frankfurt.
Nope.
Athens.
What continent are we aiming for?
Yes, what continent?
Europe.
Europe.
Barcelona.
As we look at the U.S. map.
Yes.
I always
Rome.
Do.
Rome.
It's not as... that would be more Eurasia. It's not Rome.
Oh,
Madrid? Maybe it'll prompt something.
Not Madrid.
Venice.
Maine looks like
I mean, if I say it's
Berlin,
the Netherlands, you're going to tell me it's
Amsterdam.
It's Amsterdam. Yeah, it's Amsterdam.
Why?
Why? I'm sure.
Why not?
It's a great place to go after.
Oh, I think Molly, Mr. Barlow
so
has a...
After both sex and drugs.
Yep.
Yep.
Never.
Yep.
I get the munchies. I understand that.
So, we have just about time for one more question. This is a great one. Anthony Daniels, I think people know as the voice
3PO.
Of C-3PO from Star Wars, but he wasn't George Lucas's first choice to play the character of C-3PO. Could you name either of the two people who actually auditioned because Lucas was originally looking for a, quote, sleazy New York used car dealer persona for the character?
So first
Danny
one,
DeVito.
Joe Pesci.
Yeah, Joe Pesci.
None of
those. Joe Pesci. Oh,
you're
going
to need to think of hot actors of the era and hot actors of the era before.
Robert De Niro?
I mean, I know I could hit Dave in his funny bone by saying, you won't believe it, but the man of a thousand voices.
Is it Mel Blanc?
Mel Blanc.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, okay.
Yeah. The voice of
Looney
Tunes.
How did I know that before you?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm thinking Rich Little, that's all. I mean, or Frank Gorshin.
And the actor of the moment there, which I mean, I would just say something like Jaws, and you'll tell me it was...
Right.
Robert Shaw?
Roy Schneider.
Richard Dreyfuss.
Richard Dreyfuss. Yes. Richard Dreyfuss.
We were all over
the
place.
Other one.
Yeah, the other Richard.
The other
he was
guy.
Never sleazy enough.
I don't think he... That would have made no sense whatsoever.
The Goodbye Girl, he was kind of sketchy.
I'm not getting that.
Yeah.
I thought Joe Pesci would have been...
Yeah, Joe Pesci would have
been interesting.
Let's see. Sure, but actually I think about someone like Joe Pesci. I'm not sure he was quite on the scene yet in the mid-70s, right?
He had to wait for Home Alone. And
he had to wait for Home Alone. Yeah, exactly.
There you go.
It's so true. We had a lot of fun with these questions, folks, but I'm afraid the time has come to say goodbye, Danielle.
Adios.
Dan.
Goodbye.
Molly.
Bonsoir.
Jim.
Bye.
Dave.
See ya.
Stephen.
Goodbye.
And Heather.
Bye.
And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is produced and directed by Michael Jason and Brian Masonville, and our executive producer is Professor Jason Roach. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.